You'll take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter 14. We will finish the lesson that we started last week. Again, studying church polity, why we do what we do, and the biblical basis for it, and why we handle situations the way we do. And so we started last week studying there with church planting. And we saw that there are two distinct stages in church planting, which is the mission stage, which we talked about last week, and then the organized stage, which we'll look at this week. So, again, anybody need a copy of this week's lesson? I'll grab you one if you need it. Daniel is armed and ready if you need one. So, anybody need one? Dylan does. All right, Daniel. All right. Anybody else? Brother Nicholas could use one. So, if you need one, just wave at Daniel. All right, he'll be glad to get it to you. So, appreciate you getting those, Daniel. Acts chapter 14. Let's read verse number 21. Acts chapter 14, verse number 21. And follow along if you would. It says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaleia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." So we see here, and we studied it last week, when these men were sent out. They were sent out of the church at Antioch. They were already busy ministering to the Lord. That's who God will call, those who are busy doing what they can through the local church. They were called, it was recognized by the church, they were ordained by the church, they were sent out with the authority to preach the gospel, to baptize. And then we read here, we studied it last week, but here's kind of the summary of things. Churches were established, they stayed, they saw pastors, elders, as it says there, ordained and left in those churches. Those churches were then commended after prayer and fasting. They were commended to the Lord. And then they went back home and they reported to their home church and stayed there a while and was strengthened, taught, fellowship. And that's a different lesson at a different time of why that's so important. You see here the local church being ground zero, being sent out, doing the work, and then coming back. So we studied the mission stage, but we examine here, especially when you see there in verse number 23, but let's study now the organized stage. And a lot of this, again, be a lot of practical things, but just to give understanding why we do, because we're in the process, we have done this, we're in the process of this, and I hope that we'll start this process all over again very soon. This is what the majority of our missionaries are in the process of doing, whatever stage it may be in. And so, you know, have good understanding in it. So let's talk about this organized stage. I'll keep giving an introduction. "Once an evangelist has gathered together a suitable company of people together, he should seek to organize them into a properly constituted Baptist church. This is because a church is, by definition, an organized assembly of baptized believers." So organized. So a church has to be organized before it becomes a church. So how does this organization, or organizing, I should say, take place? Well, here we go. Number one, the substance of organizing. The substance of organizing. Churches are constituted by a voluntary covenant or agreement on the part of all those desiring to become members. A church, they're constituted when this group of people, we talked about this and studied it from the Bible last week, how these groups of people are brought together. Number one, through missionary work. Through the preaching of the gospel, people hearing the gospel, seeds being planted, watered, the Lord bringing the increase. They get saved, they get baptized, and they are the elements of which the church is built. We saw that God can also use, though maybe there's those that are backslidden in an area that can be their life getting back right with God, and they may join in, or those from other denominations that presented the truth, see good doctrine, and see the errors of the churches that they're in, and come and want to join in with that church. All those things from the Bible, and all those things is going on. Like I said, Brother Slee could take you and put faces next to every one of those points down at Elmwood. All right, that is the process going on. I could take you to Colorado and introduce you to people. All right, that this process is going on. We can go down to Mexico, and especially on the foreign field, a lot of times you'll see that the area that where people are in other denominations and see truth. You know, predominantly everyone down there, Brother Harris's work, has a Catholic background. All right. And they had to see truth. And when they give time for teaching and building relationships, showing them the Word of God, God opens their eyes. They see the false things they've been taught, and they get right with the Lord, get saved, and come to a right church. And so you know, this is a work. But when a church is ready to organize, these groups, this group of people will voluntarily covenant together. Now, we're going to look at in more detail in the next few weeks church covenant and bylaws. But they covenant together our agreement that we are going to form this body. Letter B, to organize means to jointly sever all ties with the mother church and become an independent assembly. Now, right now, there are ties between us and the church down in Magdalena as Brother Harris Ascending Church. There are ties between us and the church in Colorado. Brother Roberts, talked to him today, all right? But, you know, when things come up, we stay in very close communication. We're working together. Again, we give him great liberty. We ordain him. We send him out. We trust, as it was in Acts chapter 13, for the Spirit of God to lead him and to guide him while he's on the field. But still, we have a responsibility as the sending church. To pray for him, to be there for them, to help them in their time of need, which our church does and has done. But, you know, why do we do it? Because that is our duty. Just as a parent would their child. All right? You know, I have a 10-year-old daughter. You know, I'm not going to say, well, you know, you're on your own. That'd be a mess. All right? I'm going to oversee a little bit closer. But I do not oversee near as close with Hope as I do with, you know, Grace, all right? She's more mature, a little bit, all right? But she's more mature, all right? And, you know, she knows how to handle situations. I'll pay for that later. So you're able to, as maturity and growing, to back off, all right? And there will come a time, you know, as with me and my parents, that those strings are cut, all right? As in the church in Bullhead City, Mojave Baptist, all right? That is our daughter church. All right, now, what's going on down there? I get a report from Pastor Randall every once in a while, just share some good news, but that's not our business. All right, they're their own church. They're continuing to go on. They're doing a tremendous work. And what's special about it is this. You know, a couple summers ago, my family went out west, and we visited a lot of churches on there and saw a few of our missionaries. But it was different going into Mojave. When we walked into Mojave, any other church, we visited a church, I love the church, right outside Little Rock on a Sunday morning. Never had been there, didn't know the pastor. Me and him are still emailing back and forth. Just loved meeting him first time. But we sat there in a pew, you know, it's kind of neat to be a visitor in church every once in a while, you know, get to learn a whole different aspect of things. You know, and enjoyed it. But when we walked in Mojave, everyone ran to us. Everybody asked about you. Everybody asked how things were going. Everybody asks about certain ministries and missionaries and personal with our family and things like that. Now, we have no say in what they're doing as a church, and they have no say, but we had a close relationship there, all right? And that's exciting. It's a wonderful thing. And I encourage you sometime, go out there, right? It'd be a blessing. But, you know, there's a connection there. But when they organized in Bullhead City, Arizona, we as a mother church backed off. They're their own church. And no matter what decisions they make, it's not our business. All right? And so a group of people will come together, they will covenant together, we desire to be a church, and when they organize, it is the mother, the sending church, that's when we back off and say, then you're on your own. Not that we won't be there, you know, just like still, right? I need some help here. You know, my dad will do all he can to help me, all right? But there's a separation. And that's the way it is with the churches and being organized. So you see the substance of organizing. Let's get quicker and get going. The suffrage of organizing, I alliterated, but that's the voting. There are two basic votes when a church is organized. Number one, A, I should say, there's a vote to exist as an independent Baptist church. This is the very first vote of any church as it brings itself into existence. I probably should have. I didn't think about doing it. We have all the minutes from when we were organized in 1967. Maybe we'll print those out, have them out sometime, right? If you want to read those. You're going to see a lot of these things happen back then, all right? But there's a vote to exist, all right? The group that is coming in covenant together, they will vote to bring themselves into existence, all right? That is the first vote. And then there will be the second vote, which will be a vote to ordain their pastor. And this is necessary. And I believe that it's necessary. We see it here in Acts that they ordained elders in these churches before they commended them to the Lord. But I think it's necessary because leadership is the essence of organization. If a church is going to be organized, they need to have leadership and in place. Titus was instructed to do this. I can read this verse to you real quick in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5. Probably could have beat me there now. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. So there's a vote to call their pastor. Again, with Cazado Baptist Temple, I give you our history, in 1967. The group of people that were gathered together, they voted to organize this church. They severed all other relationships from any other churches that there may have been, and they formed the Cazado Baptist Temple under the authority of the Loveland Park Baptist Church. And we were organized, and then immediately in that same meeting, the next thing that the group of people voted upon, the church then, they voted to call their first pastor, Charles Gervin, to be their pastor. Now, having agreed upon these two things, this company of people is now a Scriptural Baptist Church. Say, how did that happen? Well, they had a sending church. A man was sent with authority. People were gathered together. And then the people voted, and a new church was born. They were birthed, if you will. All right? This process has been repeated for over 2,000 years. All right? It is something that is continually. Say, how long will it go? Well, the Bible says, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the Lord's churches. There will always be the Lord's churches in this world that we live in. So let's go on. There's those two votes. Then number three, the steps, all right, in organizing. I hope this doesn't get boring, but it's just something I think it's important to teach so we have an understanding. I'll go as quick as I can and try to be as exciting as I can. Letter A, the principles to organize. Just two principles, because people always ask this question. Number one, how many people are required to organize? The answer, there is no answer. All right? The Lord never gave us a number and said, when you have 22 people gathered together, you may now organize. All right? It is in the Bible. All right? So what are you looking for? Now, we have some examples, really only one that I know of, but when the Lord Jesus, I believe he started the first church, and he had 12, there is no set number. And I believe that's because a lot of that depends on circumstances. It believes on the field and where you're at. It believes on the spiritual maturity of the people. You may be in one place and have 50 people there, but if they're all very, very new converts, praise the Lord for it, but there may need to be some teaching on what is a church first. Whereas in another place, you know, that may be a quicker process depending on the maturity level of the people. But ultimately, how many people do you need? It just primarily rests upon the will of God. And when God says... And the leader that God has sent, the evangelist, if you will, he should be very sensitive and walk with the Lord, and he'll know. And by the way, the church will know. We will know when it was time for Mojave Baptist to become their own church. But the Harris knew that. The people out there knew that. The pastor here knew that. The people here were excited about that. Right? It was something everyone understood as the will of God. And it will continue that way. How long should you wait? Again, there's no scriptural mandate. You know, should you go a year, a month, 5 years? I mean, how long does it take to plant a church? You're seeing all of that in action. Brother Harris has been down in Magdalena. How many years, Brother Ezra? In Magdalena. 2011, so 8 years he's been there. Brother Roberts is celebrating. He's hitting his 6th year being out there. We've been down in Elmwood 6 years. At Anchor, it took 2 years, less than 2 years. You know, so when will these other works be? How long did it take at Mojave? It was before I got here. You know, but the point is this, there's no set time. It depends on when the people are ready. There's a group of people that are ready for this. Now again, I hope that, you know, you're not like zoning out on me, right? Because understand, I go back to last week's lesson. This is the work of the church. So we have to have a good understanding. This should not be somebody else worry about it. This is our business. All right? This is what it's all about. Reaching souls and starting churches, all right? That's why there's missions. That's why there's our ministries. It is for this purpose. So we need to understand this and have a good understanding. So there's a couple principles. Then let's see the prelude to organizing. What's going to happen? Number one, an evangelist should lead his people in explaining each step of organizing. So again, we've already covered the mission stage. We're in the actual organizing stage. And so that missionary or that evangelist that's been sent there, he should begin, as the Lord is laying this upon the heart, to explaining each step of organizing to the church. Brother Hoddle did this. We talked about 6 months prior. And I've had this conversation with Brother Roberts. I believe we're, you know, getting closer to that point with them to start teaching these points. And what is a church, and the importance of doctrine, and the ordinances, and why we are, you know, the Great Commission, and why we do what we do, because the people need to understand. So the evangelist will start leading his people and explaining that months before. Number two, the evangelist should lead his people in teaching sound doctrine, because if you're going to have a church, you need to have some right doctrine. Number three, the evangelist should lead his people in explaining the importance of a covenant, constitution and bylaws, and just understanding these things. You know, like I said, the next few weeks we're going to look at these things again. I say, why? Well, they were taught on in the past. They were hit hard. 1967, pretty much they hit it hard, right? But how many of us were here in 1967? Yeah, I wasn't either. I was yet 8 years to be born. There was a lot of teaching, and then at times pastors have gone back and hit this again, and it's time to do it again, all right? Because this next generation, and we have a lot of young people, praise the Lord for that. You say, where are they all at? All of our young ones under 12 are next door right now, and there's a whole bunch of them. And you know what they told me? You can go see Miss Hannah if you want to. She goes, Pastor, I'm going to be till 8:30. I was like, no problem. All right, it's awesome. We have a lot of young people, all right? They need to know this. If it's not taught, they won't know it. If it's not taught, they won't do it. And you see that happening everywhere out there. Churches being started without authority. You see people just hopping around, doing whatever, and just totally going against the Word of God. So it has to be taught. So the evangelist will teach his people sound doctrine and the importance of a covenant, constitution, and bylaws. We'll be looking at again. Letter C, the preparation for organizing. Number one, a day and a time should be set as God leads. So a time will be selected. Within the next 6 months, a time will be selected. I'm not saying it will be in the next 6 months, but a time will be selected in the next 6 months to organize out in Colorado. And that's exciting. That should be exciting to us, all right? And so we'll pick a day. That that group of people out there will know that time. They will begin working towards that. The teaching will be directed towards that. And we as a church will be praying towards that. We should spend time in prayer and fasting for the group of people that's out there. But a day and a time will be set when the Lord leads. Number two, the mother church should recognize and try to send representatives, if at all possible. Especially within the states, I think it's a wonderful thing. And even on the foreign field, you know, when Brother Harris organizes, should God allow that in Mexico, I believe it's very, very important that either Brother Slee or myself and maybe one or two others be there. Because you're teaching the people there. Because you say, what do you want that church to do? To train people and to send people out and start churches. And we want to see this process repeated. That's why a lot of times we'll read our prayer letters and from our missionaries, and we'll talk about maybe when they are organizing, all right? And you'll read about how the pastor, his home church pastor, came out for that service. You say, why? Pastor needed a vacation. No, all right? It's important he's there. It's teaching the home church. It's teaching the new church. And it is showing that passing of authority. It's really important that it's done. And so the mother church, if at all possible, and I encourage when that happens in Colorado and it happens at Elmwood, if the Lord allows that, in Mexico, all right, we go. Man, take a few days. Go. Be part of that, all right? Say, why should I go, all right? Well, number one, you'll catch a fire about it. Because let's be honest, the whole idea of church planting, you know, a lot of times we think, well, missionaries, whatever they do, right? Well, no, this is our work. I praise the Lord for what Brother Siegbert's doing, but he's doing what we should be doing too, just in a different location, all right? It's the same process, and we should be involved in this, and when you go out there, I promise, because it's based in the Word of God, your eye will affect your heart. When you see it in action, and you see these things going on. So, number three, all prospective members should have their membership transfer in order for that organization day. Now, again, those have been saved and baptized. Let's use right now in Colorado or use down in Elmwood, all right? Those that are being saved and baptized, all right? You know, who are they members with right now? Us, all right? And so their membership, they're ready to be transferred when they organize, if they're obviously coming from the mother church. If there's a group of people maybe that have been going there and saying, yeah, I was a member of so-and-so, and I'm going to be moving my membership to this church, that happened in our church's minutes back in 1967. You know, there are people that moved their membership from another church on the day of organizing. And we should be prepared for that, all right? We should have already kind of done the homework. Where are you coming from? Make sure everything's in order, all right? This week, someone came and visited me about joining the church, and I contacted, their pastor, because it's a local church right here in the area. And, I said, I just want you to know. I said, why'd you do that? Because it's right to do. One, because if there's a problem, they can't join here until they get right with their church. And we've had that in the past, and some is like, well, then I'm not joining. Good. Good. Let me give you a little insight on the ministry here. Anyone who leaves a church on bad terms will leave yours on bad terms. 100% of the time. I've never seen an exception. I hate that, but I've never seen an exception, right? Because the point is this, do right. Now, you can go back and get right. When the Davises first visited, I was in Mexico when they visited, right? And, and the first thing when I got back, Brother Slee and I, we went and we visited where they came from. And I looked at their pastor and I said, is there an issue? Because if they need to get right with you, they're not welcome to come and join our church. And he said, no, the Lord's just obviously leading. I give them full endorsement. And then praise the Lord. And I'm so glad. Amen. All right. But it's right to do. But you want to get all that in order. All right. You don't want no surprises on organizing day. Number four, the service for organizing. How does the service go? Well, the setting, normally would recommend a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday. If it's a church in our area that we're starting, like at Elmwood, we would do that. And I know they have service on Sunday afternoon, but we did it at Anchor too on a Sunday afternoon. Why? so we could have services, and then everyone that would want to could drive and be part of that service. And us as the mother church all go down. Right, now, if it's in Colorado, maybe, obviously we're not going to drive over there after church between lunch. But on a foreign mission field, you're not going to do that either. But in our area, should Elmwood organize, it'll be on a Sunday afternoon. And we'll have our services and everybody. And I hope the whole church goes. I hope the whole church goes. You know, you say, oh, it's not a big deal. It's the same. It's like, you know, can you imagine, you know, when Hope was born? Can you imagine, like, me as the dad be like, I don't really feel like going to the hospital, you know, big deal, right? You know, hey, Dad, I call my dad, you know, Stacy's going to have, you know, a baby. Let me know how it goes. You know, no big deal. You know, of course not. Everybody got in the car and ran over there. Why? Because it's exciting. It's a new birth. It's a new life. And we as a church should feel that way about a new church, all right? But the setting normally is Sunday afternoon. Number two, we do that so the mother church can participate. The steps, real quick, and we're done. Number one, there should be a commencement. Usually there'll be singing, scripture read, and supplication, prayer. It's really, you know, I have these notes, and I did not use our church's minutes, but as I reflected and studied and looked over this again, I was just like, that's exactly what they did in 1967. It's really, but it's right to do. But you'll get together, you'll sing, read scripture, have a time of prayer. Then there'll be choosing of some men. Letter A, normally there'll be a moderator that normally would be the home church pastor. So when we go out to Colorado, for instance, and that church be organized, there'll be a moderator that probably will be myself. I'll lead initially in that meeting and calling the meeting to order. Also, a temporary clerk will be chosen because they're not a church yet until the vote. So as a sending church, I would be there to be the moderator of this meeting. We would choose someone to be the clerk to keep very detailed minutes on what all happens in that meeting. Number three, there'll be a challenge to the people. You can have whoever you want to preach. In Colorado, we'll say that I start that meeting, and then I deliver a message, or maybe Brother Sleeve delivers a message, or maybe Brother Roberts delivers that message. But we would preach a message on the importance of what is going on that day and what God is doing and how a church is being formed. Number four, the church covenant will be voted on. It's a vote. There's their vote to organize. With that church covenant, it will be read to the people. They'll vote on that, and they'll sign their name to it, and that they want to be the first members and agree to this covenant. That's their vote to organize, and then there'll be a call to pastor. They then will vote on calling that man of God, whoever it may be, to be the pastor. Again, out in Colorado, unless God does something we don't expect, that pastor will be Brother Roberts. And the church out there will officially, when after they vote to organize, will vote to call him as their pastor. Then there'll be the closing. Now, when that pastor's called, if I'm that moderator, I'm using that as an illustration, all right, I'm relieved. Because at that moment, when they have voted to covenant together, and they have voted to call a pastor, they're now on their own. I don't have authority. You don't have authority. We're there to give counsel if they want it. We're there to rejoice in that day. But then I would step down. The pastor has been called, and he will take over that meeting. They can then adopt their bylaws, and usually a service like that will be closed in a song, a rejoicing. Again, a scripture read on what God has done that day, prayer, and because you're Baptist, they usually have a supper after that, all right? But it's normally what happens, all right? And then that church is organized. Now, I know a lot of tedious things we went through, all right? But it's important we understand. You say, why? Because the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. There needs to be order. Titus was left to set things in order. Paul said, I am looking at these churches that have been started and beholding your faith and order. there should be order in these things. And so we seek to, you know, do things orderly. This, I know you know this, but only a church can birth a church. Only a church can birth a church. And it should be done biblically. And the biblical way of doing that, again, is a church recognizing God's call upon someone. I close with Brother Roberts. God began to speak to his heart about going back to where he was at college and grew up in Colorado. There was not an independent Baptist church. We began to pray about it. He needed trained. And he came here through circumstances where he was in Columbus. That church tragedy happened. He came here and we began to train. He would come over at my house. He's testified to this. Sit at my kitchen table, and we just went through this book. A lot of kind of stuff we're teaching now. But another big part of that was not just me sitting down with him training, but you recognizing God's calling upon his life. Him serving in the church. His face being found out soul winning, teaching, preaching. I had him lead the singing. She's like, I will never do that, which he's done now for 2 years. But to see him serving so that, without a doubt, this church said, yes, God has called him to do this work. When the church recognizes that upon the leadership of the Lord, we then ordained him. We sent him out with authority to preach, to baptize. He went out in Acts chapter 13. He's been led by the Spirit of God. That's the way it should be. We didn't go and follow him and say, all right, where's your first meeting? Where are you going to go next? What doors are you going to knock on? All right, we'll let the Spirit of God do that. And the Spirit of God has. They met in their house. I thank the Lord the Davises went out with them, which was a huge blessing to the work out there. They went out and stayed about a year, right, Brother Davis, roughly, out there with them. And then, you know, they met in the house. They met in a chiropractic office. And then God opened the door and gave them a log cabin church building. Isn't that awesome? And on that property was an old abandoned house that had been lying there. But Brother Roberts, that's what he does for a living. They were able to rebuild that, and it is beautiful. It's awesome. They now have a place to live. They have a church to go and assemble in a building, and God gave every bit of it to him. Now, God doesn't have to do that every time, but that sure is awesome that he did. Out at anchor for the HODL, we got a burden, we began to pray, out towards where he lived. God really, he was a deacon in our church. The Lord laid upon his heart, this is what I believe God wants me to do. He headed the work out there, he headed the visitation, he headed it. Soon a church was established and he's been pastoring out there. God blessed, found a building. They gave us the building. God is amazing. When God is in something, God takes care of it. This process should be something we shouldn't sit back. When we sit back, make sure I say this correctly. When we think, well, we're not going to be, you know, birthing any more churches, well, then you're in the process of dying. As a church, when we quit church planting, we're saying we're ready to die. I'm not ready to die. I don't think this church is ready to die. And it's not. I'm not reprimanding. I'm applauding, right? We're in Cincinnati planting a church. We're in Gunnison planting a church. We're in Mexico planting a church. That's exciting. So what should we be doing now? Praying that God sends somebody else. Somewhere else. So that the next church can be started. Pray for laborers every day. We support all of our missionaries to be able to have a part in this process. It's exciting. This is God's work. Let's just continue to do it and do it His way. Let's pray. Father, Lord,